Welcome to a special, uncensored, late night, after hours, Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Jay Farrar. And we've got a couple of guests in studio. We're going to let them sing a couple of songs and maybe we'll mess around a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Kearns and Aidan Hamill.
A house in New Orleans, and they call the rising sun, and it's been the ruin of many a poor boy, and in God I know I've won. My mother, she was a tailor. She sold my new blue jeans. And my father, he was a gambling man, down in New Orleans. Gambler needs is a suitcase on that's run, and the only time that he's satisfied is when they're all that's run. So mothers, you tell all your children not to do what I have done, 'cause you spend all of your life in sin and misery in the house of the rising sun. I've got one foot, it's on the platform. The other one is on the train. And I'm going back to New Orleans, to wear the ball and chain. There is a house in New Orleans, they call the rising sun, and it's been the rule of many a poor boy, yeah, in God I know I've won.
Thank you, guys.
Wow.
I really like these private concerts, Jay.
Aren't they great?
Yeah. You know,
it just sounds so good.
It really is.
That box that he's sitting on sounds good. I can't wait for Thursday.
It's the cojones.
Yeah, it's the cojones. I can't wait till Thursday, man. I love it when you guys play and you really get the house going, and it's going to be a great night at McLean's.
Joe Kearns and Aidan Hamill will be performing at McLean's Pub on Peel Street, across from that big, beautiful park, on Thursday night. Alexander Keith's birthday, rocking some lobster. I imagine there'll be some pretty sweet beer specials.
Yeah, well, with the lobster, you get a pint, $18.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you get a big-ass cockroach on your plate with a pint. What more do you want?
Do you have to cook the lobster yourself for that price?
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
It'd be kind of fun. I mean, a little dangerous.
Yeah, I can't wait to commit some kind of lobster genocide. Just start throwing him in the pot. Let me do it. Please don't. Gone.
What is the sound of 300 people ordering lobsters and them all being cooked at the same time? You'd better play loud, Joe. You don't want that sound. That's that.
All you're gonna hear is
that high piercing sound. God, it's a good thing lobster's so delicious because it's such a fucked up thing to make.
What an ugly thing! It's so ugly.
Yeah, yeah. We're not on the radio.
Yeah, go for it, fucking Irish cocksuckers. Go for it, man.
Okay. What? I don't know.
I put Irish cocksuckers in there for no reason at all. just so I can say Irish cocksucker.
I know.
Awesome.
You're now at third time.
It's okay.
I just feel like that word is just a little over the top.
What, cocksucker?
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, come
again.
On,
that's
man.
The
don't
one.
Worry about it. Everybody sucks a little cock once in a while.
If you can play, then you can play, right, Jay?
You can play, you can play. Most people on this planet have sucked a cock at one point in their life. If you think about it, people, yeah.
Thank you. I'm with you, Joe. What the hell is
Jay
on?
Most of the population have sucked a cock. There are more women than men on the planet. Then you get all the gay guys and then all the guys that were in prison and stuff. And most people have sucked a cock at one point on this planet.
All the guys in prison sucked a cock.
Yeah, so we're missing out.
You know what this leads to?
Unless one of you guys sucked a cock, which is cool.
No.
Jay, you know what this leads to, right?
What?
Things like a quote of something from what you've just said in your sentence, like on Twitter, like, I don't know, give me an example.
We've all sucked a cock.
Jay Farrar.
If I were to take away my 500 followers who have sucked a cock, I've only probably get about 37 left when you think about it.
Wow.
That was a Louis C.K. bit, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then I'm showing that I...
You feel better. I'm just quoting. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
I cannot be blamed for my behavior in the last few seconds. Yeah. Look at Jimmy. Jimmy's like, what the?
I don't want to be here.
Why did I sign up for this shit?
Jimmy wasn't here the last time we did an uncensored podcast.
Ah.
It was very sweary. It was a lot of fun, though. Dave Zirin joined.
Yeah. He didn't hold back either.
No, it was fantastic. Jay, you mentioned to me off air that you had quite the interesting story about a gentleman with a red square at the bar.
It wasn't really. It's a dilemma that I have, and it has. I mean, we can go on about this for an hour.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Hours.
Tell the story, and if we decide that we don't think it's appropriate, then we'll cut it out.
Oh no, there's nothing inappropriate about it. It's simply. I just talked about sucking cock for 10 minutes, and now you're worried about appropriate. What the hell is wrong with you?
This still is the Kaufman Show. I swear.
Yeah. It brings up some interesting questions on. You know, what is the proper behavior or etiquette in a pub or outside a pub? Basically, what happened is a guy came in and he says to me, I need to ask you something and I have a request. And I said, sure, what can I get you? And he says, well, there's a girl over there and she's wearing a red square on, I think it was on her knapsack. He saw it as she walked in and she sat down. She wasn't bothering anybody. She was minding her own business.
Uh-huh.
She happened to be wearing a red square.
Right.
Which at the pub, we do not, I don't discriminate between square or not red square. I believe anybody should be able to wear it. Anyway, he asked me in the end, he said, can I ask you to tell her to take it off? And I said, no, that's not my policy at this pub. I know I've heard of some bars and pubs around Montreal who have asked people not to come in with those. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. This is a free country and she can wear whatever she wants so long as she's not bothering anybody. I mean, when people come in wearing a cross, it doesn't mean they're knocking on your door being a Jehovah Witness or trying to, you know.
And I'm pretty sure that the what you're referring to with a bar, there was a chain of bars in the city that wasn't allowing people in with pots and pans.
Right.
The red square is fine. It's a red square.
That's
it's
different.
Like the
a
least
pot, and a pan can be a weapon. It could be used in some sort of,
agreed,
you know. So the interesting part came when he said, well, if she has that right to have free speech in your bar and do whatever she wants, I guess he took it as an attack. He says, well, I'm going to go confront her about it.
Oh, shit.
So I said, and then he brought up, well, you wouldn't let anybody wear a swastika in your bar. I said, no, I wouldn't.
Wow, are we comparing red squares and swastikas?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Now, let me just, I just want to remind our audience, Jay has two rules at the pub. I mean, there are many other rules.
There are many other rules.
But there's two that we like. For the sake of this conversation, what are your two rules at the pub?
No religion, no politics.
There we go.
Okay. This is a place where you come to get away from that stuff. And what he basically said is, well, I'm going to confront her. And I asked him, please don't do that. And he says, well, what gives you the right to tell me what I can and cannot say in the pub? And I said, it's not about what you're saying. It's that you are confronting somebody.
It's by nature, or if you're confronting somebody, you are
who you don't know.
You're being confrontational.
You're being confrontational. You don't know how they're. He goes, well, you trust me. I know the guy. And he says, you trust me. You know that I can respect the bar. I said, yes, but I don't know how she's going to react because I don't know her from a hole in the wall. So now you're creating a confrontational environment, which I do not need, especially when you have a lot of people full of alcohol.
And quite a dilemma for you, Mr. Manager.
That's right. Now, let's say that argument gets ugly and shit goes down.
But you know this guy, right?
I know him.
Okay, so the fact that you know this guy makes me think that he probably should have toned it down and not kept it going with you.
That's it, but he was insistent. And I said, I'm asking you as a friend, and I'm a friend. You come here to see me, and out of respect for me and the bar at which I work, please do not do that. She's not bothering anybody. She's not going around with picket signs telling people to sign some kind of petition. She simply has a cloth red square. Now, and then he brings up the swastika thing, and I said, but
at that point you lose, what's that called, Godwin's theory or Godwin's law?
Right.
The second that you bring the Holocaust into a conversation, you automatically lose that debate by default.
That's right. It's also against the Canadian Charter of Rights to be wearing symbols which attack another person's culture, their race, or it's a personal attack. A red square is a belief. It's not a personal attack. It's a political position, which you may or may not. Am I going to stop somebody from wearing a fleur-de-lis? No, of course not. Anyway, he went and confronted her anyway. Even though I asked him not to. No. I stuck my nose in right in the middle of the conversation. I'd had enough, and I told him, I asked you not to do this. He insisted anyway. I said, all right, if anything happens, it's on you. He says, nothing's going to happen. I said, all right. The conversation went on, and they did end up having a decent conversation, which did get heated at times because I can hear their voices raised as I wasn't far away from the conversation. I
imagine you were keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. Now, he came to me after and had the gall to tell me, I don't appreciate you telling me what I can and cannot say. And I said,
good thing the bar's not a democracy, huh?
And that's exactly what I said.
Oh, well, I know my co-host, don't I?
When people in my house, first of all, if you want to do some sort of political debate with somebody, go to fucking City Hall. This is a pub. This is a place where people come to get away from that
but
bullshit.
But what if these people weren't corrupt, Jay?
Jeez, now he's getting on something else here. Whatever. Go to the library and talk it out with a bunch of other idiots. I don't care. It's like, well, then he starts telling me, well, with their pots and pans, they woke up my kid. I'm like, well, good. Screw your kid. I didn't say that. I so didn't say that. But I wanted to say that.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care, you know? We all have beliefs. We all have things that we agree and disagree with. But there's a time and a place for everything. But he brings up a good point when he says, well, you're stopping me from saying what I feel. And I said, I'm not stopping you from saying that. I'm stopping you from starting some shit up with another customer, which you don't know how it's going to end. If this person is somebody that you knew all your life and you're having a friendly political debate, I can accept that. But And he says, well, you should have had more trust in me. I said, it's not you I don't trust. It's the person you're talking to who I've never seen or met, has never been in this bar before. How do you know her boyfriend wouldn't have jumped in and knocked you out? Now what happens? I've got problems on my hand in a place where we don't need that kind of thing. So this is the kind of, it's quite the moral dilemma.
But it also shows, I think, to a lot of people who don't necessarily understand what a bar manager does and what they deal with on a daily basis. You are in the people business there.
That's what I do.
And you're managing expectations.
Right.
People go out with a certain ideal in mind of what they're looking for in their evening.
Right.
Very rarely do they reach such lofty plateaus.
Right. And I'm not
manage expectations.
I'm not going to bring it to the point where I'm going to start telling people what they can't. I mean, I didn't tell him what he can and cannot say. I was asking him to not do a certain behavior. It's a behavior that I was worried about. It wasn't what he was saying. So what do? Every time somebody comes in and they're wearing some kind of political, I'm going to tell them, no, they can't come in. That's all I need to be is on the cover of the Gazette like they were at La Ronde when the guy was wearing a weed shirt and they told him to take it off. I don't believe in that kind of.
How about the bar in the Plateau that wouldn't let the guys for dressing to hip hop?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I was there for that.
I know.
And I can't allow somebody to do that. But I can't stop somebody from randomly confronting a person and calling them out on a political belief, not a religious belief, not an attack on you personally. So I thought it was an interesting situation.
Just don't do it in such a douchey fashion.
Yeah, but and that's also another thing. I've got to consider the alcohol situation.
I know.
These people are drunk. Right. People don't argue well when they're drunk, which is why we have these rules in the first place. He just didn't get it. In the end, I bought him a shot, and he told me, thank you for listening to me. And I said, you know, the only reason I didn't kick him out is because he's my friend.
Okay.
And as we were having the argument, I mean, my doorman was standing right behind him. He didn't even know that. All I had to do was give the little signal, and he would have been gone. But I'm not going to do that. So I felt I was being fair with him. I didn't kick any of them out. I let him have his say. And that's what he said when he came back, and he says to me, well, I said, you're good now? You got it all out of your system now? You feel better? Your daughter got sleep now from all that?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly did you gain out of this? No answer. He didn't know. He didn't know. He just wanted to be a douche. But he wanted his little revenge because his daughter couldn't sleep.
That was an interesting story, Jay.
Thank you.
I think that was well worth doing a little bit of an uncensored finish off to the show tonight.
I appreciate that, Dave.
I wish I had something salacious to go into so I could rant and rave right now, but I feel like I already did that on air on when we were on the actual air tonight. The only thing really upsetting me right now is the Nats. And
stop being upset about that. Stop. Look forward. See,
I'm going on this whole the resolve is strengthened with every Nats win. It brings us closer to getting a team back.
That's right. That's okay, what you have.
That's
to see.
Where my head is at.
Proper tools.
Still feels like shit to see them win.
I know.
Okay. I cannot sugarcoat it. I can't. It fucking hurts.
Don't
it
watch
really
the celebration.
Hurts.
Don't watch the celebrations.
I know. I just got to turn off. The second the game ends, I got to turn it off.
Turn it off and then go on Twitter and see what people are saying.
Yeah, see, but that's been equally difficult.
Why?
Equally difficult because there's a lot of Expos stuff. There's a lot of Expos mentions.
Good.
And
that's what we want.
I know.
That's what we want.
I want to see them come from here, though, not from somewhere else.
Well, most of the people you have on Twitter, I assume, are locals.
I don't know about that.
Anyways, I mean, you can't censor yourself from this stuff. I mean, you can't desensitize it.
Well, you can try and censor yourself, but it's just an attempt at self-preservation. And one of the things that I've done with that is try and play as much, and it play on my stereo or go to concerts as much music as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Bessandry inviting me down to the Bathhouse Studio on Saturday, which was the eight-year anniversary of the last Expos home game. That was a distraction, man.
Yeah, sure it was. That's great.
Man. Anyway, we'll get into that another time. And, gents, you want to play us another song?
Yeah.
All right. Once again, Joe and Aiden will be at McLean's Pub on Thursday night. No cover, right, Jay?
No cover, nothing at all. We just want you to come in, have a good time. We'll be giving away a lot of little prizes, and Joe's going to come on, and then Saturday Salty Dog. Lobster for everybody. Pints with it.
And you're playing Saturday night at the Rawdon Pub? Is it called that?
Sims.
Sims out in Rawdon. If you want to get intimate and interactive with the boys, that would be the spot to do it.
Especially intimate.
Do you get to control an avatar? Didn't
somebody get married the last time you had a show there?
Noel got married twice, yeah.
There you go. Noel got married twice.
Which is why he's not here.
Our best to Noel Halligan, who is listening from afar.
Or not. He might be dead. That's what they told me. Wow. You missed out on that conversation. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I said,
where is Noel?
I was doing the Kaufman show.
Yeah, it's like, where is Noel?
He thought Aiden was Noel. Yeah. Yeah. Noel, how are you? You're looking well.
I think I actually said, boy, Noel, you changed. All right, gents, play us out.
Here's one. I went down to Houston, I stopped in San Antonio. I passed up the station for the bus. I was trying to find me something, but I wasn't sure just what. And I ended up with pockets full of dust. So I went down to Cleveland, I ended up insane. I bought a borrowed suit and learned to dance. I was spending money like the way it likes to rain. And I ended up with pockets full of cane. Oh my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. I ain't never been to Vegas, but I gamble up my life. Building newsprint boats, I raced in sewer mains. I was trying to find me something, but I wasn't sure just what. Funny how they say that some things never change. Oh my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. Well, up here in the city, feels like walls are closing in. The sunset's just my light bulb burning out. I miss Kentucky and I miss my family. All the sweetest winds they blow in from the south. Oh my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. May you one day carry me home. May you one day carry me home.
Joe Kearns and Aiden Hamill. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman. This has been an uncensored mini podcast. We'll be back next week on TSN 690 without the swears.